And I think it's probably very appropriate for me to take some time tonight. I put together a lesson, but it's somewhat abbreviated because I wanted to share a little bit of my experience in my journey toward a relationship with Tony Denhartog. And I think it's appropriate. Tony was just here a few months ago, sitting in this seat, and I'm going to tell you what he's doing, okay? Isn't that something? Somebody called me and told me what he was doing, and I thought, well, that's pretty cool. I'll share that. It's all fine with me. But I'm going to give it to you a little bit later. But I sent a message to them in Australia because I didn't travel there for the celebration. Tony got up one morning and immediately went to lay down on the couch, and he just got up, right? So that wasn't a real good sign. We didn't hear another peep from him out of that tent, okay? That was it. There's no more noise came from that tent.
October 1st.
That Martha called us later that day and told us of the event. And I don't know if all of you listened to the Celebration of Love, just a 10-minute message I sent for them to play at the celebration. But in that message, I talked mostly about our love for them and what Tony said to me. And it's interesting because Bob Hughes called and shared some things that happened that same day. And Bob's really tuned in, not only to Tony, but what we're sharing. And Tony said, I love you, Moose. It's my nickname, Moose. And all is well, and nothing's changed. Now, if we're all going to comment on what that means, we're probably going to hear different things. And probably most of us are going to have questions instead of listening. What did he mean? What did he say? And that's what we're going to talk about this weekend. The title for this weekend is The Changeless Kingdom. And so he said nothing's changed. Now, when he said it, I've got to say that I didn't have a lot to say about that, except I know I should just shut up and listen. That was the first thing, is just listen and wait for something to come to me to expand upon that, and that's what we're going to do this weekend. So that's the title of the series this weekend, and tonight it's called The Kingdom of Light. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to talk a lot about details, but I'll just briefly tell you that when I got out of organized Christianity, I guess I'll call it, I didn't know anything, but I knew something wasn't right. That's all I knew. I knew it wasn't working. Whatever it wasn't working. And I went through several parachurch ministries, People to People, and Gillam Ministries, and Malcolm Smith Ministries, and Ravencrest Ministries, and a couple of Union Life Ministries,
I was trained in Exchange Life,
and I mean, boom, boom, boom. Well, as we were going, we kept learning something new and better. And then I just went into sort of a 10-year hibernation period with Walter Lanyon books, because that's all I could handle. I couldn't even handle reading scripture. All I could do was read Walter Lanyon. And we were fine, you know. Lightning didn't strike. We didn't get washed away in a flood or nothing. And we were just sort of humming along. But it was a little lonely. You know what I mean? There was no fellowship with anybody. And we went to an Episcopal church, and I finally said to Diane one day, I'm not going to go in someplace and stand up and sit down and kneel when somebody tells me, and then pray when I'm supposed to, because I don't mean any of it. I said, well, I'm all done with that. And I sort of like the atmosphere, you know, of that, of those type of sanctuaries, because they're fairly quiet, so that's not bad. But so that was it. That was probably the last time I was in any kind of a formal service. And one night, not too long after my father had passed on, I got up at 2:30 in the morning, and I came out of this room, went to my computer, and I did a search for Walter Lanyon groups. And somehow I got to the second page of the search page, which doesn't happen too often. And of course, I'm clicking on this site, and here it is, freedomvoice.net, Light of the World Ministries. And I didn't know, I didn't look down and see that it said AU. I didn't know I was in Australia. I just started snooping around, and I clicked on a recording called Justified Glorified. It was a 32-minute recording. I don't know why I clicked on that one. Well, of course I do, but I didn't at the time. And I listened to a word that spoke to me in a way that I've never heard before. It was very strange, for sure. What I was hearing was very strange. And within probably, I'd say 30 to 60 days, I finally got the revelation that there was no such thing as a God of reward and punishment. Now, there's a lot of things that we believe within the kingdom circles. There's some variations, I'm sure, but we believe in a literal hell, but it exists right between your ears. It's where it starts, okay? And it speaks out through your tongue. The serpent has always been a speaking tongue. That's what it represents. The serpent's always been a speaking tongue. Doesn't matter whether it's on a snake or on a nice-looking girl, okay? It doesn't matter. It's always been a speaking tongue. That's the serpent. And it's fueled, that serpent is fueled by the imaginations of man. It's fed and nurtured by our imaginations, by our wanderings, by our feet, because man goes to and fro across the earth, what? Trying to make a living by the sweat of his brow. That's man, right? And we know, and we've talked about several times, that that life is called a vapor. Solomon called it vanity. Now that's hard to take. That's quite a blow, you know, to the old ego. That's like a, you know, the ego's like a weeble, you know. I mean, we need to kill the weeble, but it does not want to fall down. But that's the ego. It's like a weeble. You know what the weeble is, right? We wobble and we weeble, but we don't fall down, right? That's the ego of man. He doesn't want to give up. He's in a place of no return. He's going nowhere fast, and he's still hanging on to a smoke trail. He's trying to grab a smoke trail, and he's looking for answers out in the appearances. That's what man does. That's what he's doing. He's looking for answers. And when I heard that the God of the Old Testament was a Hebrew God, a God of reward and punishment, I mean, I'm just telling you, if I was a little older, I probably wouldn't have made it to the rest stop, okay? I mean, it floored me. And not, it didn't just floor me. It was 2 weeks of floating around in what? Non-judgment. I didn't really even understand that either. But I kept listening to the recording of the Law of Attraction. And what is God that Tony had? 1652 and 1239, I think. I even remember them because I played them over, and because every time I heard it, I understand a little more. Because when I first turned it on, I say, well, I couldn't ever tell anybody this or certainly not share it with them. But I just remember looking out at the San Diego Harbor. I was there for a show for our business and realized, and I shared this before because I want to go over it a little bit again, looking out and realizing that nobody walking to and fro across the earth was my enemy. Not one person. Now, isn't that something? Just that realization that there was no longer a God, a reward and punishment, freed me from the judgment of the appearances of man. It freed me from all the judgment. Now, I'm not telling you I didn't run back out and pick up a little bit of it again and take off with it. I did, but it never left me, and I knew better, right? It just never left. That's what my relationship with Tony began like. I've heard words I've never heard before. And that never really changed until 3 years ago when Tony, in one sense, sort of handed off part of his mantle, I guess, to me and kept pushing me to share. And I was hearing so much new stuff, I didn't trust myself to share anything. I said, I'm not saying nothing. I like this. I just want to sit and listen. And I just kept listening. And 4 years ago, we were down in Jacksonville, and he'd come back the next year. Mike, just start a group. Yeah. And I was sitting in the living room of Linda and Barry Waring, and I just remember realizing I don't know a thing. And from that point on, I started to hear strange words again. They certainly weren't my words. And as I shared in August, I know the difference between when I'm speaking or when I'm thinking and when God's talking to me. And I'm nobody special, but He does talk to me quite a bit. You know, and I hope He's talking to you. But I can tell you, I want to give you a litmus test to let you know whether it's His voice or your own, okay? And that's what we want to talk about tonight. How do we know the difference between flesh and spirit? How do we know when we're in the kingdom of light and when we're standing outside the door barking our brains out at the appearances, trying to get them to change? We're standing at the base of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and just barking away, you know, do this and do that, and change this and change that, and give me this and give me that. That's what it is. And this is a big tree. It's actually the size of this planet. It's how big the tree is, okay? It is this world, is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's a system. It's not dirt with the tree sticking out of it. It's a system of belief. And everybody running around out here that believes they're a human being is of the world. Me too. When I'm doing that, I'm of the world. I'm of the world. Now, Jesus said, we're in the world, but not of the world. That's what he said. But they didn't understand him. And I, you know, I don't even want to use the word embarrassment because that's sort of an egotistic term. But to our spiritual misunderstanding, we've got a long ways to go, okay? And I'm going to tell you why. So, there's a lot more I could say about my experiences with Tony and Martha because there was a lot of them. We spent a lot of time with them. And Tony and I went through some difficult times a little bit. We were committed to each other. We got through them. But when the revelation of righteous judgment came in its purity to me it was another one of those life-changing things where you got to get the depends out. And this is what scared me. It wasn't the revelation that scared me, is that it was changing a lot of the message that I'd been hearing. A lot of the message. And I'm going, who am I? Am I supposed to speak up and say, we've got to change the way we're thinking? Yikes. Here it is, just the little guy that just started the small little group in Jackson. And here I get this revelation of righteous judgment. I'm saying, holy smokes, this is a game changer. A big one. And so, when Tony said, nothing has changed, what was he talking about? Well, he was talking about the kingdom of God, where some of us sort of think we're living there. And that's debatable, okay? We're certainly children of the kingdom. There's no question about it. But we heard not too long ago that it said the children of the kingdom were cast into outer darkness. That didn't sound like fun. The children of the kingdom were cast into outer darkness. So here they are, children of the kingdom, running outside the kingdom and turning around and barking at the appearances, trying to find something that's constantly changing. Well, within the kingdom of God, I'm just telling you right now, nothing changes. Nothing changes. Nothing on this visible level, nothing that can be heard or spoken or seen changes. Now, that actually excites me, to be honest with you, because I'm just telling you, I'm going to confess, I'm going to go out, I'm going to run back and forth and sit in the chair and say amen to what I'm hearing. I have not had a lot of success out there barking at the tree. Okay? It has not been a successful experience for me. I'm just here to tell you, okay? I mean, man's born to trouble, the sparks fly upwards, and I got scorch marks on my ass, okay? And it hurts, okay? Now, when are we going to give up? When will we give up? When will we die to this life we've been trying to live that doesn't consist anymore of chasing a jet stream 30,000 foot in the air? When will we die to that? Because we're still hanging on to things. I'm just telling you right now. We're still hanging on to things. I'm going to prove it to you. We all are. Okay? Now, when you hear that, nothing has changed, the kingdom of God doesn't change, I'm sure there might be 1,000 things that cross your mind that say, wait a minute, now what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? And what are you saying? And do you mean this? And do you mean that? You just have to take a deep breath and just shut up. You just have to do. Because this computer up here is capable of thinking a lot of stuff. It's an amazing machine. It is amazing. Within the kingdom of God, nothing changes. Now, I'm going to prove it to you right off the bat that it's true. So why is the kingdom of God changeless? And here's the primary, if you like rules and all that kind of stuff and outlines, here's the first thing we got to establish. The kingdom of God is changeless because there's only God, there's nothing but God, right? The kingdom of God is God. It is God. The kingdom of God is God. I am the Lord, I change not. I change not. Now, where is that, this thing that doesn't change? Well, it's certainly beyond the clouds somewhere. It's certainly a realm of faith, isn't it? Has to be. It's got to be. It has to exist, what, beyond the appearances. My kingdom does not come by observation. Now, here's where we've got to get focused and grounded. Don't sit there and try to get your questions answered. Write them down. You can ask somebody. I've told everybody, I have no problem with talking with any person one-on-one about anything. Now, I don't like doing it in groups because we're all in a different place and usually ends up arguing, right? But I mean one-on-one, I'll sit and talk with anybody. But what is going to rob you of understanding that the kingdom of God is changeless because it is God? All your questions, all of your cares. What were they going to come in and steal the truth away? Steal the truth away. Let your mind go wild. Don't fight it. But you don't have to believe it. You don't have to agree with it. And you can wait upon the Lord. Wait until things start to calm down and start to listen. And, you know, you can. And when it talks about going to the Father and asking Him for things, this is what it means. Ask Him what it means. And just listen. And if it has anything to do with changing circumstances in this world, it's not coming from your spirit. It's coming from your judgment. There's rule number two. Those are two tough rules. Those are hard. So the kingdom of God is God. Therefore, the kingdom of God is changeless. This is what Tony was talking about. Nothing has changed, he said. Nothing has changed. Well, where is he then? If nothing's changed. This is a question that's going to be hard for the folks in Australia. And I sympathize with them. The closer you were to this man, the harder it's going to be for you. Poof, he's gone. We sang the hee-haw song and off he went. Right? Poof. He's gone. Now, 100 years from now, we'll all be gone. Well, where are we going? Walter Lanyon says, I'm not going anywhere. Now, I'm not sure I understand all what that means. That's what he said. And I believe it. I certainly believe it. But it's pretty hard to elaborate on that very much without getting caught back up in a hole again. Right? I'm not going anywhere. I got some more insight. We're not done. So I've got a few more specifics, but I want to make sure we don't stray away from these two first principles. The kingdom of God is God. I don't know how many people have written me and said how blessed they were just by hearing the words, there's only God, there's nothing but God. Just by hearing those words, many people have been delivered and now say they understand what righteous judgment means. Because I've been talking about righteous judgment for 3 years, and I'm just telling you, a lot of people aren't getting it. That God is not judging the appearances of this world to any degree. He's not commenting on it. He's not hearing prayers of people to change it. He's doing none of those things. Because His kingdom, which is Him, is not of this world. It's other. It's outside the appearance realm. My kingdom does not come by observation. And then he says, the kingdom of God's within you. Whew. Well, I've always thinking going this way, you know. You get outside and look at the stars, right? You just look up at one star, and there's millions of them, but you could focus on that one star and never hit another star and go forever. That's what I think of when I think of the kingdom of God. And that's just one star. But he's saying it's this way. He says it's this way. Oh, whoa. That's pretty different. But you know, if you can divide something once, you can divide it forever. If you can take a molecule and cut it in half, you can continue to separate it eternally. So we could be this, for some microorganism, we could look like the Milky Way to them. Maybe mine's a little bigger. Maybe Ellie's the Milky Way and I'm the the other universe, a bigger universe. I don't know. The point is, it's not anything that's visible. That's what the point is. It's a sense, it's an understanding that changes your perspective. That's what it is. That's what the kingdom of God is. So God is spirit, right? So it has something to do with the spiritual realm that is invisible. And so this is why it said, no man has ever seen God. No man can live and believe what I'm telling you right now. You can't survive. And I'm not talking about going out and blowing your brains out. I'm talking about giving up on yourself. That's what I'm talking about. Giving up on this life that we attach an ego to, a name to, and think it's somebody. Okay? That's what it's talking about. Jesus said you have to lose your life to find it. This is exactly what he's talking about. Now, I don't know how that fits into each one of your lives. That's something I don't know. This is where you're working out your salvation, right? But I'm telling you what salvation is. This is what salvation is. This is really what Jesus came to say, is there's nothing but God. There's only God. Look unto him and be ye saved. To know him is life eternal. To know there's only God, there's nothing but God. And he is the kingdom of God. And when it describes it, it says, we are of offspring, and he will live in us, and he will walk with us. All those are fuzzy terms around the core truth that God's offspring is God. Even when we talk about he's around us and he's under us and beside us, that's fuzzy truth. It's way more than that. Because he said it's within you, radiating outwards. So it's the source of all things. And that source of all things is within you. In Hebrews, it said Jesus was the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, even with those words, he was speaking to a people who lived according to appearances. That's why he said it that way. He was speaking to people who were trapped in time. And so he tried to bring history, the present moment, and the future all into one and say Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's where people are trying to make a living. But within the present moment, we're drawing out from the well of yesterday and projecting fear into the future. Now, we talked about in August that if I could go through to each one of you and just, well, there's these devices we use called dongles. And we can take and use them to communicate with transmitters in our new lights that we make. We're making intelligent lights now that can like talk to people, right? Not talk to them, but we can communicate with them and give them commands, you know. When we draw out from the well of yesterday and project into the future, it's all coming from your memory. So if I could take this little magic spiritual dongle and go up and just wipe your memory out, I would promise you, every one of you, you would have no fear. No fear of anything. And I'm not talking about arrogance now, you know, because when these young kids that ski and all that stuff say no fear, they just mean they're arrogant and crazy. That's not what we're talking about, right? I'm talking about you wouldn't be afraid of anything. Anything. It'd be impossible for you to be afraid of anything. You'd have, why? Because you'd have nothing to compare it to. Not a thing. You'd have nothing to process it by. What does that say about how we're living? What does that say? We still got a couple toes scraping out in the world, folks. Me too. Me too. I'm with you. You talk about the footprints in the sand, but mine look like claw prints of bears, you know. Like I'm trying to drag myself. What do you mean footprints in the sand? You know? It's nuts. I mean, it looks like a fight's going on. You know, sand's going in the air. Now, here's another thing I really want to say to you. Appearances. Now, when we say appearances, it has to be our memory. It has to be, doesn't it? Because I just wiped your memory out. You know nothing. You're Sergeant Schultz. We're watching Hogan's Heroes. And I know nothing. I know nothing. And it's true. And you have no memory. But you're happy. You're feeling good. You know, you're feeling a little hungry. Well, what do I do with that? You know, well, you used to have a mom, used to stick something in your mouth, right? Either a bottle or something else. Right? It's how you learned all that stuff, right? Yeah, we've been taught everything we know from generation to generation. Everything. So when we talk about appearances, think about your memory. It certainly has to include all that, for sure. Has to. Because up in here, it's going away and it's accessing this thing and that thing and it's looking out. And I mean, if you don't know a bear is going to eat you alive, you probably wouldn't run for your life. But I'll guarantee you, if one come after me, I'd run. You know, I don't have enough faith to not run from a bear, okay? Sorry, I would run from the bear. Reminds me of a joke, but we won't tell that now. We don't want to waste time with that. Anyway, the appearances, the memory, always stand against reality that the kingdom of God is changeless. Always stand against it. This is the thing that in Scripture always stood in the way. And if you, and even in the Old Testament, if you study it aright, the true God said, I will always have war with Amalek. Now we think that's talking about a mean God that's going to beat you up. But guess who Amalek was? He was the great-great-grandson of Esau. A man who didn't need God. A man who made his own way. Created his own supper. He wasn't some mealy-mouse little guy standing behind his mother in the tent. He went out and he made his own way. And so when it talks about that in Scripture, that's what it's talking about. The flesh wars against the spirit. Your memory of the appearances always stands in your way of receiving truth. How can, this is something so beautiful, yet we have nothing to relate it to, that the kingdom of God is God. It just freezes you like a deer in the headlights. Well, what the heck does that mean? Does that mean I can't do anything? That's exactly right. You can do nothing that has any eternal value. It's all going to disappear. It's like we talked about. The best man's God is his name carved over in a cemetery over there, and I'm going to take Gary over there with me Sunday, and we're going to smoke a cigar and see if we get some revelation. I'm going to take him by B.J. King's stone, and I'm going to show him the spire of Bennett. Okay, I'm going to show it to him. I say, what do you think, Gary? You getting anything? Maybe we'll get a wishbone out or something and see if we get some movement with some sticks or something over there, right? But you know what we're going to find? Nothing. Just names carved in stone. That's it. That's it. That's all it is. That's a great picture of man. Now, there's there's some people ain't got their names carved in a stone. That's probably better, really. Probably better off, right? Nothing has changed, he said. So why do we have a long way to go? Because we're still struggling with the fact that there is no more death. You got that one down, all the rest of them will fall like dominoes. Won't they? If you get that one down, if you have no more fear of death, that means if somebody leaves here, you are not affected. You are unaffected. That's a big one, isn't it? What does that mean? Because we know all over Scripture, within the kingdom, it said there was no more death. Jesus says, if you drink from this water that I give you, you will never thirst again and you'll live forever. Living forever doesn't mean you're going to die. What's that? He didn't add an asterisk in there, but you'll suffer like a worm and die. He didn't say that. Now, in this world of appearances, there's lots of stuff going on. No question about it. And we're still going to continue to struggle. There's no question about that either. But that does not mean we don't know better. That doesn't mean we don't know better. And we start, and this is the work of salvation. As we start to move into reality, all of the thousands of questions in history that we've had begin to melt away and are burned up by what? The lake of fire, the love of God. They just become consumed. We'd like it to be overnight. We'd like them to all go away all at once, right? And I don't understand some of that, why there's a process going on, except we are consciousness, and to me, consciousness needs to be aware of who it is. So, Herb Fitch says we all must swim through the ocean of time to come to reality. Every man must swim through the ocean of time to come to reality. I don't know a lot about that either, but when I hear it, I like it. I don't know a lot about it, though. So, don't get defensive. Let's not act like we're some kind of spiritual giants. There's no such thing as a spiritual giant. We are spirit. We are just pure spirit. That's what we are. And there is no such thing as death. I know that, but there's a lot of things that try to pull me away from it, right? Especially when the shoulder twitches a little bit and the chest gets tight and the knees buckling and whatever, you know, and what's happening, right? I mean, I ain't got the stamina of Rex, you know, I can't ride a motorcycle and I just don't have the stamina of that guy, but I'm not going to get into the details, but the guy can do it all, can he? He can stand on one leg with a motorcycle and take himself to the emergency room. I'm glad you're still here, Rex. Even though it isn't going to matter, right? That's what we're trying to talk about right now. It's not supposed to matter, right? But it's going to matter. It is. When we got the call, I didn't like it. Okay? I did not like it. I know it. Well, what does that mean? See, what does that mean? It means we got a ways to go, don't we? To understand what? The changeless kingdom of God. Reality. We got a ways to go. That's what it means. Now, I want to try to I want to be careful of those things so we don't feel judged, right? Because you can start to feel judgment there a little bit, right? Well, we don't want to do that, so I'm going to talk more to you about it so it helps clear that up, right? He says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Now, who is that? It's really please yourself. Here it is. Here's the kingdom of God down here, right? It starts here. This is the kingdom of God is the nucleus. It's the nuclear reactor of your being. It's where all of life comes from. And he says it's inside you. Well, it'd be nice if we could have like a Star Trek image and have him show like a pulse engine, you know, throbbing. There's God, you know. And noises coming out and voices and the Wizard of Oz speaks and things like that, right? I mean, that's what we'd like, right? But it's not visible. It's not anything visible. Faith is a realm what? Of things unseen. Faith is the realm of things unseen, we're told. So, it sounds, though, like something we need to do. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And you go into Paul and he says, you know, it's not by works. And you go into James and he says, well, if you've got faith, I'll see it by your works. But it's all we're talking about love here. We're not talking about Boy Scouts. It's talking about love. It's talking about understanding the love of God. It's not talking about you're a track star and you've won. Let's get it. And James clears it up. He says we're spiritual people. He tells you you're asking amiss because you're consuming upon your own lusts. So it's your list of honey-do list you got for God. That's what we think it is. And so we turn it into works again. But let me tell you something. It's a real work to understand what we're talking about right now. It's a lot of work. Do you know what I mean? To realize you can't do nothing to change who you are. You can't. I'm just telling you. You're all going to find out someday. We're all going to find out that you can't do anything to change who you are. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean like we can't, you know, go swimming and nice meal and have wild, crazy sex and all those kinds of things? Well, sure, you can do all those things. But I'm here to tell you, they're fading away. Okay? Then what do you do? What if you're in a hospital bed with a tube down your throat and you can't do nothing? Then what do you do? See? Does it include that person? Of course it does. So we've got such a twisted understanding of what we think the kingdom is. That's why the kingdom of God can't be anything improved upon this level, this visible level. Okay? It's unaffected by it. So that's why he said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So it's not something you do, but what does it mean? Faith is understanding the Father that changes not, who is the kingdom, who is within you, let's go down the ladder now, who is within you, who is your life. You've got to continue to take that and bring it into reality for you. Okay? We can't leave out one of the steps. I'm trying to give you an outline because when I say without faith it's impossible to please you, well, we've all got our own sort of twisted idea of what faith is. You got faith works and faith healing and I wrote a paper on faith when I was in Bible school, and I happened to find it, and it's all a bunch of BS. Okay, I'm just here to tell you right now. There wasn't a word in it that was true. Okay? So man's definition of faith has usually got something to do with changing something or doing something. Okay? And that ain't it. So what is it saying to you without faith? You'll never be satisfied. You'll never be satisfied. You will always be clamoring for something more to screw on to this life you're trying to live in this appearance realm. Now, at the same time, I'm just telling you, everybody's got a green light. God is not judging you for for anything you do or say. Know that for sure, because I called him everything you could think of calling him, and the next day he poured love all over me like I've never had before in my life, and he did the same thing to Gary. That's when I started to realize he loved me. Up until then, I didn't even have a clue. And I'm not sure I understood that even then. But I got the holy goosebumps now, just like I had then. That's all I can tell you. I got holy goosebumps. And I just, wow, that was, God, you really love me. And all he did is help me find my keys in the snow. Crazy, isn't it? Now somebody will start a church, you know, to go find your keys in the snow. You know, I mean, geez. It's got nothing to do with that, okay? He just showed me he loved me. That's all. He can do it a lot of different ways. There's no pattern, right? Without faith, you'll never be satisfied. Because you've got a list of something. You've got something you want. You got something you want changed. A condition, an event, something you want changed. How can, in the life of faith, is the description we found in Paul's rendition of, I've learned to be content in wherever I find myself. Well, where are you going to find your true self? When you quit looking for God under every rock and circumstance out in this world. That's what religion's doing now. We've been religious. We might still be a little religious even. We might still be a little bit. We don't like it when somebody bites the dust here, do we? I don't either. I don't like it either. So what's that say to me? Mike, you got a lot to learn. Yes, Father, teach me. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your ways, O Lord. What does that mean? What does it mean? I want to know what it means. I really do. So to live without faith, without faith, you will never be satisfied. You'll always be clamoring for something more, for some change. And when you look back at it, at all of your problems, all the difficulties, all the sorrows, they come to us for one reason. That's because we're living in the consciousness of changing circumstances. There is no life there. That's what Jesus was trying to tell us. And so Jesus warned us, and he said, judge not by appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Now that needs to become very personal. We can't change the meaning of that, but that has to become very personal for you in order for it to take hold of your life. What is it then? Am I judging by appearances, Father? That's the question. What is it? Teach me the difference. Teach me the difference. Because my Father is judging everyone in righteousness. You really mean that? You mean no matter what they're doing? Yes, sir, I do mean it. And I know that for sure. Well, how can he do that? Well, there's the religious mind again, right? How could he do that? Did you see what this person did? Do you see what they're doing? Have you heard what's going on here? Yes. Yes, I have. What are you going to do about it? Well, let me get back to you on that, okay? That's a good answer. Let me get back to you on that, okay? Because you want to know something? The next time that person comes, it'll be something different. So even if they got what they want, it wouldn't ever work. Is it just one thing? Or is it 10 things? Or is it 100 things? Or is it 1,000 things? When will you be satisfied? When? See, so that doesn't work. And it won't work. I'm just telling you. I've been trying it now. I'm not a young spring chicken. I know all you're going to laugh at me, you know, because all of you are close to my age. You're a little older, but I mean, I've been an active person. And I'm just telling you, it didn't work, okay, from that level. All right, now it might look like it's worked, you know. You see a bunch of wood piled up around here, but it all go up in a puff of smoke pretty quick. Okay, this will burn for a long time. There's a lot of wood in here. She's left the burner on a few times. So Jesus warned us. He said, judge not by appearances, but judge righteous judgment. How can we all be in one accord? What truth could I say that puts every one of us in the same place all at the same time? I know for sure I could tell you there's only God, there's nothing but God. Puts us all in the same place all at the same time. It's a good place to start. Diane and I are involved, and Ellie and Jerry too are involved in a company called Young Living. I think Gary's involved in it too. Beautiful products. We love them. And there was this, I think they were Taiwanese group, this little group of, they call them Oilers, you know. And I was in their little site, and I was so happy to read this. And they said, our motto as this group is to see God in everyone, comma, and every event, period. To see God in everyone and in every event. There's only God, there's nothing but God. Now, again, I sympathize with each one of you struggle in these areas, because I struggle in the area too. I'm not, you know, although, I mean, I don't even want to say I'm in the kingdom. I know I'm a child of the King. I know I'm a child of the kingdom. But to me, I'm definitely learning to be satisfied when events come across my desk that involves millions of dollars. And I'm just telling you, I struggled with it when I started to get bigger. And the Father said to me, Mike, just take all the zeros off and you'll be fine. Isn't that simple? Wasn't that something? And as soon as I heard it, I said, well, you're right. What's the difference? Whether it's a one with six zeros or a one with one zero. What's the difference? You know, you're worrying about it isn't going to make it any better. And I'll just be honest with you. We went through it this summer a little bit, and I struggled with it a little bit. Again, you know, it was a little easier. It was definitely easier, and I knew better, right? I did know better. And that really helped me through it. So how can we be on the same page? How can we all experience oneness? Because if we all got in the line, everybody would want to talk about something that's going on in this world. Because we all look at it differently. And so we've got millions of people praying to a God to try to adjust the appearances. Yikes. It's not the true God. And it's certainly not the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of chaos is what it is. Right? Because James said, why do you fight? We've all got a different view of what we think's best for us, and nobody lines up with the other. I mean, even husband and wife, we don't line up all the time. As sweet as she is, don't you think, shouldn't it be easy to line up with her? It should. It don't. It's mostly me. No, she's not squeaky clean, but she's pretty close to being squeaky clean. Okay? She's got a drip problem. She don't like water dripping in her house. Drives me nuts. But, and I told her, I said, honey, when water quits, stops bothering you from dripping in the house, then it'll stop leaking. Because about when I fix one, here comes another one. And she's starting to believe me now. Because we've always had something dripping in this house. Always. And it drives her nuts. I mean, she gets hyperventilating sometimes. I'm not going to tell you an experience, but she can tell you sometime off the record, all right? She can tell you some things that happened. She was on the phone once to me, hyperventilating on the phone because something happened in this house, and it had to do with dripping water. Actually, it was running water at the time. It was a little more than a drip, okay? Now, she said to me, well, don't you care? Well, of course I do care. But I'm not worried about the house tumbling down, okay? That's the difference, right? So my point isn't to pick on Diane. My point is everybody's got a different view. None of that can be part of the kingdom, guys. There's nobody's in one accord with that. Nobody's in agreement with that. That's where we got to forgive each other. Because we don't hang on to our version. We let go of our version. Let go of the dang thing. You know, lay down your life. It's not about what you want. It's about who are you. Who are you? That's what it's about. So James told us, why do you fight? Because of your lusts. Now, right away, we're thinking that's something to do with sex, but it's everything. It's not just that. You can put that in there too, I guess, if you want. If you're complaining about something, I can promise you right now, I like giving guarantees. Isn't that something? I love to give guarantees. And I love it when the Lord, Father speaks to me in a way where I know it's absolute. I love that. Because it gives me boldness then to share with you what I'm hearing. Any complaints you got, any issues you got, where you're troubled, where you're worried, where you're frustrated, the core source of that issue is not coming from your spirit. Mm-mm. No way. God hasn't got anything to do with it. Not a thing. Whew, there's another one. That's tough, isn't it? That's the old Weebles laying down. He's staying down this time. He's trying to come back up, but that's really a big one, you know. That was a pow. He wants back up, though, because he's got something he's concerned about. We've gotten a fight over dripping water, you know. We've gotten a little, not a big one, you know. Like I said, she just raises her voice 2 decibels, and I go spin around, you know. So, sorry. Sorry, honey. I do love you.
I have a brand new kitchen closet today.
Yeah. So I got all the leaks in the outside of the house, and the kitchen faucet started leaking. Started running like a sieve. Then that got fixed, our bathtub upstairs. It's like it's raining now when it leaks. Yeah, it used to drip, and now it's raining. It's leaked so bad we had to shut it down. And you want to know something? If I fix that leak, I probably are going to end up putting a new tub in. That's how far away it is from accessing it. Because you usually don't have those kinds of leaks. And it's buried clear underneath tile and special wood, and it's behind a log. And I don't have suspended ceilings like you do in commercial buildings where you can access that stuff. You know, I'd have to cut a big hole in my ceiling, my kitchen. Spread dust all over and tear the ceiling up. And I just want to go up there and put one of my sticks of dynamite from my shed and just blow it up, you know, and start over. Of course, I'd have a bigger leak then, right? So the point is, it's not to bury Diane, but it's these things, the cares of this world do not come from the spirit within you. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. And so he came and he said, fear not. I am with you, not beside you, when this is speaking out from inside your innermost being, fear not, I am you. I am you. Fear not, I am you. I am. That's, remember, it's coming from in here out. You can't look around for it and say, where's it coming from? Because we keep thinking it's remote. We keep thinking he's out there on a tree branch or up on an ivory throne somewhere. And that's why I don't care if anybody prays about anything, but I'd say most of the time we're praying to air, guys. Okay, go ahead. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. I'm not going to judge anybody for praying. Well, who are you praying to? What is it you want? Ask yourself those things. Right? We certainly can give thanks together in a group to the Father for things. You know, that's probably pretty legal to just be thankful. Right? But wouldn't it be nice if that thankfulness already was within you? Wouldn't it be nice if you were already found yourself? You found the real I am by being satisfied with where you find yourself? Wouldn't that be the right way? Instead of just sort of pecking at it, you know, with a little prayer here and there, you know, scratch, scratch, I like you, you're nice, thank you. You know, and I'm not trying to be facetious or insulting or judgmental, but there's a lot more than this. There's so much more than what we're scratching at here. That's why, to me, the litmus test, let's forget about all the other things we're concerned about. Why don't we just think about death for one? Because like I said, I think if we can begin to deal with that one, all the rest of them will fall like dominoes. Because the reason we're consumed with health is because we're afraid to die. And you're never going to die. Hello? Come in. I'm not saying I understand it, but I know it's true. Can you hear me? And here, Tony's just disappeared on us. That's why this is appropriate for right now. That's why we're talking about it today. Tony said nothing's changed, and I believed him. Now, I'm not saying I understood it. I'm getting a little bit of clarity here, right? I'm getting some clarity here on it. It's moving slower than I'd like it to. But I am getting some clarity. So I gave you a guarantee. Did you like that one? That's pretty good, wasn't it? I like that. So that's the beginning to me. What are you concerned about? Where is it coming from? And say, Father, would you help me with this unbelief? And what do we want to do, though, as religious human beings, is we just want it gone. We don't even want to learn anything from it. We just want it to get rid of it. And so, as I said on the tape to the people in Australia, and of course to all of you and everyone that listened, what can we do with this experience for us to be drawn together in a way that we never have before? That's what I asked, and we're starting to receive that now. How can this draw us together in a way that's beyond this world, that takes us out of this world and its circumstances? That's what I want. I don't want to just say, well, thank you very much, and I'm glad you're here, and we go, you know, maybe I could scratch Tony's name on a piece of wood out back and nail it to the barn or something. But that isn't going to change anything. What can we do with this? So the key to understanding is to always have this plumb line this litmus test, that the kingdom of God is changeless. And if you question it, it's probably wrong. If something comes and starts to challenge it, you're probably off base. It's that pure of a truth. What do you mean? Changeless. Whew. That's huge, isn't it? That's a big thing. We begin to realize perfect harmony, perfect peace, begins to materialize from a place of non-judgment, which begins again back to the first principle with understanding first that the kingdom of God is God and there's nothing but God, there's only God. So if I'm dwelling in a place that's out of line with that, it's called a bottomless pit. It's called a place that can never be satisfied. It's called hell and destruction. Because the kingdom of God cannot be observed in any way. So changing conflict or a circumstance will only leave you wanting more. And so instead of growing into the wisdom and understanding of God, we can to look for a change in each circumstance. And when it turns out good, God's blessing us, and when it's not, we start begging. Just like begging, you know, like the dog commercial running for the begging. Begging, 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 begging. Begging, 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 begging. So ask yourself, what if you don't get it? Is that okay? What if it doesn't change? Is that okay? What if nothing changes? Is that okay? It's a good place to start. If nothing changes, is it okay? That's where you're going to find your peace. Right there. If nothing changes, hello, it's called a changeless kingdom. Bingo. Right? We just worked at it from another angle, didn't we? We snuck in through the back door and just said, that's the kingdom of God. What if it doesn't change? That's where you're going to find your peace. So, we are going to learn that in all our learning, we must get understanding and begin to realize the wisdom that there's nothing more you can obtain than God. There's only God, there's nothing but God. The kingdom of God is God. There's nothing more you can obtain but God. Abraham, I'm your reward. What do you give me? See, I don't have a son. Bitch, 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 bitch. Right? So when we hear that, what is it that follows it that questions it? There's your problem. Right there. Whatever follows it that questions that pure wisdom is your problem. Let go of it. Just let it go. Father, teach me what it is I need to understand so that I can let this go. That's the prayer you need to make. You're praying for spiritual understanding of something that's changeless. Wow. That's my brain is like screwing up in a tight thing and wanting to twist just me saying that. Do you know what I mean? Do you hear what I just said? That is a brain twister, isn't it? To pray to enter into some place that's changeless? Wow. At the same time, it's just beautiful. And so I'm going to talk a little bit more about that tomorrow and how it applies to us individually. I'm going to keep stepping it up a little bit. So the difficulty again, we got to say stuff 10 times sometimes, maybe more, for us to understand it. The difficulty in all this is that the appearances, the cares, continue to pull us down away from reality. But now we're beginning to learn you're never going to find the Father in the appearances. Now just think about that for a second. Who's doing that? Who's trying to find God in the appearances? Every religious person walking on the face of the earth. It's got some kind of formula, a slot machine. If all the sevens line up, it means God's blessing us. Okay? If we get 1-7, it means somebody's off with the piano player or something, you know? I don't know. Again, I'm being a little facetious, but it's really Russian roulette. And it's no different than people that don't even go into a church. It isn't any different. They all want peace on earth. They all want the circumstances to line up. They all were looking for nirvana, right, in this world. Now, the core, the nucleus of nirvana is fully alive inside you. Fully alive. And it cannot be changed by any kind of circumstance. And if it could, then all of us would be controlling God. And he'd have blown his brains out a million times by now. Because it's one or the other. We don't control God. Walter Lanyon says that so beautifully. So many times. So who do we think we are with our little pea brain thinking we're going to control the God of the universe? He's up there sitting at a computer waiting for the right prayer. Oh, he did it! Hit enter! Hurry up! Hit enter! He said it the right way. You're a little slow. You're a little slow. We got some imps all at computers. Hit that one, number 12. Number 358,000 said the right prayer. How insane is all that? To think God's up there ready to respond to our little request to change some little thing here, just to keep a faucet from dripping even. I mean, whatever it is, right? This, what we're talking about, is so far removed from what we see and what we hear. It's so far removed from it. And yet when I talk about that, we're looking outwards, but it's this way. It's in you. And you know, guys, I'm not saying I'm free from the cares of this world, but I do really know better. I know what I'm telling you is true. That I know. That I do know, okay? It is absolutely true. So he said, "Fear not, I'm with you." It's really, fear not, all that I am is within you. And you can't do anything about it. It's already there because we are the offspring of God. Now, are we the sons of God? When? When we realize it. When we understand it. When we don't follow our minds like a wild dog, continuing to question everything all the time. But I guarantee you, your questions do not come from the nucleus. The spirit, the kingdom, whatever you want to call it. I want to say nucleus because that's the core. That's a nucleus, is an inner core, right? That's why I want to use the word. It's the inner core. The nucleus is the spirit. So our questions stand over against the truth and never bring you peace because they're conditional. That's another good reason. They're conditional. And even if you get, let's say you get one answered, mark it down. Your questions hold you in bondage. because they're attached to some condition or appearance. And so you're just waiting for the foot to hit drop again. There's a fear there. So I'm sure, you know, I'm going to hear people say, what do you mean I can't ask any questions? Of course you can. But this is what you must realize. If the appearances are creating your questions, then you're living in this world. What should the question be? Father, help my unbelief. Tell me what it is I'm not understanding so that I can enjoy what I already am. Isn't that beautiful? Enjoy. Just enjoy yourself. Okay? Just enjoy yourself. You are okay as long as you understand who you are. That's the difficulty. So now I want to talk about omnipresence a little bit, because it came up, it sort of was something that came up and surrounded this situation with Tony. And I remember talking to Martha that night. And I don't know if you guys remember it or not, I talked about how they found these two planets circling around the sun 191 light years away back in March. They discovered these two planets that are in a similar orbit around their star that the Earth, and they really feel like they look like they're inhabited. So I don't care, sure, why not? I said to Martha, I said, well, Tony's probably on those two planets. And she says, yeah, and he's traveling at the speed of light. She don't even hardly remember saying that, but that's what she said to me. So he's traveling at the speed of light. Do you know that we're called the light? We are called the light. Light is omnipresent. The light's shining. The sun's always shining. And you know it travels in a vacuum? It's not restricted by atmosphere at all. Isn't that amazing? Just some of those little facts about light. And that light travels at 191,000 miles a second. Now that's man trying to time omnipresence is what he's doing, okay? You can't see it. You can't see light traveling at 190,000 miles a second. Isn't that funny? You can't. That's where we're trying to put a stopwatch on omnipresence. We, you know something? We are one with that omnipresence. Right now. We're one with that. Now to me, that shows me how far away my mind is from reality, if I'm one with omnipresence. And the only way I can be omnipresence without judgment is to love unconditionally. It's just to love unconditionally. Can you feel that? Because what is love? Love is understanding the truth. And tomorrow we're going to talk more about that, understanding what love is. I can tell you I love you, but that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean diddly for me to say I love you. It doesn't mean nothing. Love is omnipresent, and it's without time and without space, and it's not limited by anything. It's not restricted in any way. This light is eternally connected to every living soul that's ever walked on the face of this earth. And this is why Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, who is our neighbor? It's everyone. without condition. So now what I'd like to do, I'm done sharing my lesson, but what I wanted to do real quick, it'll take us just a couple minutes, people on the web, but we have a DVD in the TV, and I want to point the camera on it so they can see it, and I want us to watch it. And what was amazing is after Tony's passing, a couple days after the service, I got an email from Anthony Den Hartog. Wait a minute, Tony sent me an email. Wow, I believe it. And it was his son, who's Anthony Den Hartog. And he's a musician. And he sent us a beautiful piece of music that really talks about what we're saying here and what I'm going to talk to you tomorrow. So I just thought we would watch it and then we'd be done for the evening. Okay, so.
Is that what they had at the service?
Yes, you're right. They played this at Tony's service for them, and it's Eric Whitaker, who did a. Let's just watch it because then we'll.